That's awesome. Yeah, it's a good day to be thankful for America. We should be thankful. I think I wouldn't want to live in Venezuela. Like, I'm sure there's many redeeming things about the Venezuelan people and the Venezuelan land and the culture there. But the instability of government would be very difficult. And you can go through nation after nation after nation. If you ever listen to the international news, he's very thankful for where we are. And it is good to just be thankful. And get really caught up in all the problems. There's plenty of them. Pray for them. The spiritual problems and the economic problems and whatever else. Sometimes it's good just to be thankful, and I think July 4th is meant for that. To be thankful. I'll pray here a minute, but let me give you a snapshot of the future. I have some travels. I'm going to travel to DTC, so I'll be gone, and then I'm going to take a trip. Our family's going to take a trip to Maine. I'm going to specifically see my dad, who's had a few health problems here, and then after that, I'm just going to take a couple weeks off. So other people are going to be up here for 5 weeks. So I'm going to have a whole month, and I'm not going to prepare a message unless the Lord has other plans, Lord willing. So they are going to be on pretty random topics. Now, I know from watching people do random topics that the Lord has a plan and nothing is going to be random. And you might find, well, there is a theme and there was a design to this, and you certainly designed it. And I am going to say, no, we did not. The Lord may have a theme, but there's no theme. And we're going to have several different people speak. So Devin will speak, and Keegan will speak, and Dominic will speak, and Eddie will speak. It'll be an awesome 5 weeks. I am sad I will miss several of those weeks, but it should be really encouraging. So I'm going to start off, and I'm going to do a random message because I have been confined to the book of Numbers, and I love the book of Numbers, but I am ready for an epistle. Are you ready for an epistle? The New Testament? Yes. Let's do the New Testament. So we're going to do, we're going to be in the book of Colossians. So I'll pray for us and we'll go. Father, it's amazing that you work in the world, and your believers are everywhere in the world doing amazing things, and believers in this church are in different places doing amazing things and worshiping and praising you. And I thank you for the world and the cultures and all the people in it and the believers that sustain it all. And I thank you, Lord, you tell us to pray for the peace of our city and our nation. And we pray for that. But Lord, we thank you, God, for stability and peace and goodness, Lord, that you have brought in incredible mercy, because we deserve so little. So many of the things we've done. And you study history and you compare it to the Bible, and your grace has been great. Thank you for that grace. And I thank you And I thank you for your word. And it teaches us, Lord, the secrets and how to live, the secrets on how to live with you, the secrets to get a life that is, that you have designed and designed for good and joy. And Father, Lord, would you take our hearts Lord, and help us see clearly enough to act. Father, we thank you that is possible for us. Grant us strength, God, to walk out your good plan for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Here's our passage. All right. This is Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. We'll just pull out a couple of the many thoughts that are here. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. All right, this is what I call a transition verse. So in the book, in a lot of the epistles, what you have is they talk about doctrine, Jesus, all the stuff that Jesus did, all the things he's done for you, and it is and those how the book starts. And then at the end of the book, you have commands, do this, because of all this doctrine that's happened. But there's one verse that transitions, and it's the like Romans 12:1. Who knows Romans 12:1? That's Romans 12:2. That is an awesome verse too. That's Romans 8. All the scripture memory. Ooh, right. In view of the mercy of God, because we've just talking about mercy of God for 11 chapters. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. That's the response to the gospel. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Well, if you go through the epistles, you'll find the transition verse. What's the verse that is the transition? What's the command? Well, this is the Colossians one. So for 2 chapters, we've been talking about doctrine. This is the first command. Okay. What is the command in this verse? Set your minds on things that are above. Does anyone disagree with that? Okay, so set your mind and seek. So you could say commands. You could say command. So here's a command. Let's think about this a moment. Is Paul going to give you a command that is not good for you? No. Every command that God gives that we walk in is going to increase our joy. If you want more joy, if you want a sense that life is good and life is worth it, throw yourself at the commands of Scripture. And here's one. Set your mind on things above. Let's ask another question. What is above? Heaven? What else? Say it again. Spiritual? The kingdom of heaven? That might be above. That one you could debate a little. What else? Others? Do you mean people that have passed on are in heaven on things above? You mean here on earth? Okay. Did somebody else say something? Things that are unseen would be above? Yeah, I would say you could say that. Life? My wife got it. Christ. So yeah, I feel like that's the biggest one. Set your things on things above. Where's Christ? Above. And I think heaven is true. And I think your eternal rewards are true. And I think most of the things you said, I think I'd probably agree with. There's lots of stuff, the things above. But Christ first. Christ is above. Now, this is another subjective answer or question here. Most of you, I would guess, have read the book of Colossians before. So you've come up against this command, plus you have the Holy Spirit in you, and so even if you haven't, you can probably answer this question. What do you do in life that is obeying this verse? How do you guys obey this verse? What would fit in this box that you do? Focusing on God, praising Him throughout your day, or coming here to praise Him, that would be setting your mind on God. John? So abiding, some sort of a walking with God, that's good. Okay, but specifically, how? Prayer and the word. Yeah, I would say the word's a big one, right? If I want to keep my mind on things above, the word would be a good way to keep my mind on things above. Prayer would be a good way to keep my mind on things above. Anything else? Serving others, right? Because if you put it in the box of serving, you're serving for Christ, and that keeps your, and Christ is above. It keeps your mind on things above. That's good. Yeah, just thinking about heaven. Let's sit around and dream about this place. I love doing that. Hanging out with fellow believers. How does hanging out with fellow believers keep your mind in heaven? It keeps your mindset there. And they might speak words to you that are helpful, and you might speak words to them. Yeah, okay. Got it. Okay. Yeah, you could put that in that box. I like that. A couple eyes thinking about songs. Just listening to things that keep your mind in heaven. The New Testament seems to say, sing and quote songs to each other. I think that would agree. And I might second this walking with God. And, you know, you watch a movie, and you watch a movie with God. You kind of can see things in a spiritual way. God, what do you have for me in this movie? And you see illuminations of Christ that He would... can open your eyes to, or even just wonder at the world He has made. There's a way to set our mind on God. I am in awe of these clouds or this tree, or just be in wonder. And those are good. So let's contrast it. he did not say in the transition verse in the book of Colossians to set your mind on your problems. He did not say set your mind on sports. He did not say set your mind on the news. He did not say set your mind on fiction and fantasy worlds. He did not say set your mind on money. He did not say set your mind on the things you want. He said set your mind on things above. Now, let's look at the verse. Oh, it's still up there. Good. Why are we to set our mind on things above? I'll give you a hint. There's three reasons why in this verse we're supposed to do that. Okay, we're raised with him. That's one. We're raised with him. I'm not counting that as one. Good? We're hidden with Christ. So we've been raised. We've been hidden. What's the third one? We died. So because you're dead, set your mind on things above. Because you're raised, set your mind on things above. Because your life is hidden in God, set your mind on things above. Do you see that now? Now, those things are already done. They're already done. They're true. You can't change them. You are dead. You have been raised. Your life is somewhere else. It's done. Now, the first thing we need to make sure is that when you read this verse, we don't get it backwards. Getting it backwards would be, I am going to set my mind on things above so that I can be raised with Christ. So that my life can be hidden with him there. We do these things because we set our minds because we are these things. We are in him. And so what this means is we've been united with Christ. So when God looks at Christ seated in heaven, he sees us. When God looks at us down here on earth, he sees Christ. We've been united with Christ. So it's the Father, the Son, and Desert's End Church. Right? We've been invited up into the Trinity. We are united with Christ. And so we have been united with him in his death, and we have been united with him in his life. So if Christ is in heaven now, seated at the right hand of the Father, then I'm in heaven too. Now, so much of the Christian life is walking out in our life what we know to be true positionally, what we know to be true in Scripture. Setting our mind on things above is walking out what is positionally true of us. But there's another command here, and it is to seek the things above. And we seek. You know, I was talking to Keegan before the service, and we were talking about the will and a strong will. A will that won't be denied, and that changes the things around them to bring what they want. To seek with a strong will. And we're supposed to seek the things above. Christ is above, and he is wonderful, and he is life-giving, and he has everything you want, and everything you need, and every good is in him. And in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and joy is in him, and peace is in him. And we get fooled in finding peace here, because as joyous as it would be for the U.S. men's national team to win the World Cup, it would not be like his joy. Who knows Matthew 6:33? Yes, I like that one. You say it louder. Okay, can anyone say it even louder? Okay. All right, let's read it. Let's read it in context. This is Jesus. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And of course, the verse in there was, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Pray with me for just a moment. Oh, Father, may we set our affection on you and all things beautiful in your eyes, and grant us a strong will to seek you. Amen. You know, I had a family member, an extended family member, die recently, and I had this thought that all the stuff that's positionally true now, I'm united with Christ in heaven. Now, when I die, I'm going to the place. When we die, we're going to the place that's positionally true now. And then it won't be positionally true about you anymore. It'll be really true about you. All right. Well, what I want to talk about with the rest of our time is we can't talk about all three of these. So you have three things that you are, and then two commands, and then one promise at the end of Colossians 3. And so I'm not going to talk about all three of the things you are that lead to the command, because we don't have time. So I'm going to talk about one. And what we're going to talk about is you have been raised with Christ. So first of all, that is not the first time Paul has talked about this, because he's done the doctrinal part of Corinthians. So he talks about it actually just in the last chapter in Colossians 2 in this verse. "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism." So that's all the death part. Right? When we say we've died, we've raised, and our life is hidden, that's the death part. All right, "in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. So first of all, those verses start with in him, right? So that's our union with Christ. So we're in him and we have union with Christ. And then the next phrase is, you have been raised. Just like in Colossians 3, you've been raised by Christ, with Christ, with him. And it's symbolized in baptism. And through faith, you have been raised with him through faith. And then he says, later, right here, God made you alive. So made alive is this other way to say it. You were dead in sin. Then you died with Christ. And his death puts those sins that killed you to death. This is confusing. And now you're made alive together with him. And you're raised from the dead because you're united with Jesus. He talks about this actually later in Colossians 3:2 as well. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So we're talking about the new you. So we have the old self. That's what died. Your old self died. We have a new self. And the new self has come into being, and it is being renewed. And this verse says the new self was created. So from the last verse, said that our new self was made alive. What it's saying there is God created it. God made it right there. He made a new self come into being for us. Okay, I've been raised with Christ, and there's a new self. Okay, well, what's so new about my new self? Romans 7:6. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not of the old way of the written code. Okay, so first of all, that phrase is to that which held us captive. It's referring to the law right there in the first line. The law held us captive. How did the law hold us captive? By turning us into people that are trying to earn our salvation and therefore killing us. So here's what's new about the new creation. When we became alive, we came into the current of the Holy Spirit, right? Someone old English guy might say, we came into the sway of the Holy Spirit. We were inhabited by the Holy Spirit, and now we're led by the Holy Spirit. So once we didn't have the Spirit, and now we've been made alive by the Spirit. So the newness is of the Spirit. So we serve in the Spirit, the newness of the Spirit. So that's the first thing we learn about our new self. Our new self is being animated by the Holy Spirit. Or we could say our new self is being given life by the Holy Spirit. Where the new self is plugged in. Let's read Romans 6:4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. Okay, there's the death part. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So newness of life. We did not have life. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Now the Holy Spirit has caused us to be born again, has animated us, and has brought us into newness. A new experience of the divine animating our life. I like Galatians here. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. All right, let's stop there for a minute. We'll just do verse 19. So that I might live to God. So the new self comes into being, and the new self is alive to God. So what, meaning God is now real. God is the force or power. So it's like a compass. The life is pointed toward God. It's pointed toward honoring God. It's pointed toward loving God. And that's the compass. So the compass isn't pointed to, oh, I want sin. It does not point to, oh, I want the world. It's not pointed to, oh, I want what I want. The new self is alive to God. That's the goal. God is the one compelling. God is the one controlling. We live to God. That's the design of how life should work in the new life. All right. And then he says, oh, back. We're not finished with this verse. Thank you. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. We're going to talk about that part right there. Who live? But Christ who lives, there we go, who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See that now live? I now live. That's the new you that has come into being. When Paul says he's been raised with Christ, that's the new I. The I live by faith. That's the new I and the new self, the new me. And the new me is a believing me. It's a faith me. And then he says, his faith in the Son of God, second to last line. Faith in the Son of God. A mark of the people that believe God, a mark of the people that have faith, is they say, God loves me and gave himself for me. That's the mark. So we die to sin, and that means sin ceases to have power to control us, and then we are alive to righteousness. Not only alive to God, but alive to righteousness by love and by holiness. You know, what that means is the new you is compelled by righteousness, moved by righteousness, desires righteousness, moved by love, desires love, moved by holiness, desires holiness. That's the new you. So moved when doing it, moved to do it, but moved when they see it. Something goes, yes, I love that. You know, we were watching a movie about Jesus and our family, and somebody said, when Jesus heals someone, it makes me so happy. Yes, that's the new you. That's the new you. Romans 7 says this a slightly different way. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit to God. You know, we've died. And this one says we've died to the law. And when we died to several things. We died to sin, we died to the world, we died to the law. But we've died to the law and the law's power to control us. So we cease to live in bondage to the law or according to the law, right? We cease to use the law to climb a ladder to heaven and prove our worth. That's what we've ceased doing. We've come into a new sphere, the sphere of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we've become fruit bearers. Last line of this verse, we've become fruit bearers. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Yeah. Yeah. Righteousness. Yeah. We are alive to righteousness. Our whole self loves to do what is right now. Our whole self walks into these good fruits now. And doing, it's called bearing fruit. It's not work. It's not work. It's bearing fruit to God because we are new. Because we are love. And our delight now is to do what's good for the glory of God. To do what's good for people. As many said, that becomes our delight. That is the delight of the new you. So here's my point. Here's my summary and point. We don't bring about our raising from the dead, our good life, by what we do. But you have been raised with Christ. You are a new self. And the key to the Christian life is to believe that and become what you are. This is your true identity. And that is crucial to fighting sin. Because sin feels like so right. It feels like it is you. It feels like, oh, this fits me and it's who I am. But to be born again is to know that that's not me. And then I can experience his power that's no longer me. Because my me is risen with Christ. And my me is in the Spirit. And there's newness of life. And it's alive to God and full of faith and loving righteousness. That's my me. Not the sin. Let's read our passage again. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, church, let's set our mind. Let's seek the things above. If you do, it will change your life because it's who you really are. It's the design. It's what you were created for. Now, as we break bread, we're going to break bread this morning. Let's just remember that he died and that he rose, and so did we, because we're united with him. And you are risen with Christ in the Spirit, in newness of life, alive to God, full of faith, and loving righteousness. Where did we all get that? Where did we get all that? From him. From him. Let's break bread. Ask him to come near. Honor him for being all that. So we're going to have people, Kevin's going to play. We'll have people pass out. The bread and the cup, and then we will, you can spend some time alone in prayer, and then I'll pray and close this.